This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
If you look through the scriptures, when you look through the scriptures, you start with Adam. From Adam, you go to Abraham. From Abraham, you go to maybe Noah. You go to Enoch. You go to all the patriarchs, all the prophets, from Moses to Amos to Daniel. You will notice that all of them, including the New Testament apostles, they all have or faced their share of human challenges. Daniel was probably castrated when he was 15 or 16 years old. He was an eunuch. We saw Jeremiah's plight in the well. We saw Abraham took time to have a child. We saw Moses and his problematic marriage to Zipporah. We saw John the Baptist and the political situation of his time that led him to lose his head. We saw Elijah and the consistent tussle he had with Ahab and Jezebel. We saw Jesus and the constant buffeting he faced from the Pharisees, from the Sadducees, from the teachers of the law. Two times they wanted to kill him. Once they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Seven times they wanted to stone him to death. Eventually, he gave up the ghost on the cross. We will see Peter and the challenges with faith, denying the Lord, acting hypocritically. We will see Apostle Paul with his thorn in the flesh. We would look through scripture and we would see that there is none of them that we can say is absolved from life's challenges. There is none, not one. Mary faced her life challenges. Had a son like Jesus, had to bury a son, had to fight politically for relevance. Deborah had her challenges. Prophet Samuel had his challenges. All the people in the Bible, every one of them, they faced their share of life's challenges. Their stories were not written sugar-coated. It was deliberate how God deliberately showed us their flaws. We saw Abraham and how he had to deal with famine, how he had to go to Egypt, how they took his wife. We saw Abraham, how he had to lose a son called Ishmael with the son he had with Hagar. Many of us may say, the boy is not the promised child. It is not easy for a father to lose a son. Either they took the son away from you, or the boy had to go, or it is not easy. No man, no woman care. We say no. These are serious life issues. We saw David and his challenges with his children. David lost Amnon, his son. Tamar was raped. He lost, while he was still alive, Absalom. He lost Adonijah. He lost the baby that Bathsheba gave birth to. In one lifetime, David buried five children. Five. We saw Moses, how he got angry, how he had to be thrown, had to be thrown far, 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 far away from the people when he was going to die, so that they wouldn't see his corpse. We saw that he could enter the promised land. We saw a lot of things. A lot of things we saw. And in all these things, you can look at yourself. I'm asking you now, you're on this call with me. You can look at yourself and say, I'm doing well. You can just say that to yourself. Say it. I want you to say it. Say, I'm doing well. It doesn't matter what you think. I'm telling you, you are doing well. Just believe. Well, no matter what you are doing now, hey, this one is happening. My marriage is not happy. Hey, my husband is doing this. There is no money at home. There is no food. The Bible said the wife of a prophet. wanted to take her two sons. They wanted to conscript them away from her to go and do labor to pay the late husband's debt. That was some life issues we are looking right there. The Bible said Rebecca taught one son to steal the blessing of another son. That is serious life issue that you are looking at there. The Bible said that Isaac, when he was getting old, he couldn't see. His eyes went bad. You know, this is the son of Abraham, a man that walked with God. He was losing his sight. He couldn't distinguish between one son or the other to show you that he was completely, almost completely blind, or he was even blind. It is in the Bible. You saw people that couldn't give birth. Somebody like Hannah that had to go to the temple. After she gave birth to the child, she still had to take the child to the temple and close her eyes to it. And once again, tell yourself, I am doing well. Say it, say it. It is important that you know you are doing well. And the reason for that is because many of us will then get overwhelmed by the life challenges we face. And we forget that we are supposed to keep our eyes like a flint and our sight is supposed to be upward and forward only. We forget it because we have faced challenges here and there. Because we are beating the drum, but the sound that is coming out of the drum was not as we wanted. We have tried to adjust the drum. We have tried to use spanner. We have tried to do this. We wanted to have the right sound, but the drum kept going flat. Oh, we have pumped the tire. Every time this tire, we have tried. They said, buy a new one. You bought a new one. It's still not working. Oh, you have tried the engine. You have changed the engine. You have changed the alternator. You have changed the battery. You have tried the fan belt several times. The problem kept seeing as if it was not going away. Oh, you have tried to get this job. You have tried to get that job. Oh, you have tried in love. You have tried to find the right partner, to be married, to be settled, to have something to show. Oh, you are still on that thing. You are striving. Oh, your mother is on your case. When will you get married? Bring up your husband. Bring up the wife. Oh, you are trying hard. Time is going. Oh, you've lost your wife. There is a divorce. Oh, you messed up. Your wife left you. You left your wife. Oh, somebody is pregnant for you out of wedlock. Oh, you are pregnant for somebody out of wedlock. Whatever the issues, whatever they may be that is happening to the sons of men under the heavens that you have seen happening to you, you are doing well. That is the place a believer starts from. A believer does not look backward into regrets. A believer does not look backward into regret. The moment a believer begins to look backward into regret, a believer will lose sight of his map. You know, it is when you are using Google Map to drive. And then it is telling you turn right, turn left. And then at the point, you miss it. You are supposed to turn right here, but you thought it to be the rest of it. So you missed it and you overshoot. And then you continue to drive. You are looking for the map to the route, to the route, to show you the next available opportunity to get back and connect to your right and a lawful passage so that you can get where you are going. That is how a believer is. Every time you make a mistake, every time there seems to be this thing that is coming against you from here or coming against you from here, you keep your eyes like a flint. You must learn that. You must have that. That trigger hair telescopic vision, your eyes in the telescope, looking at your target. Now, when you see anybody that is looking, a marksman using the telescope to try and shoot, you will close one eye. You will put the other eye in the telescope. You will be looking at his target. He would even be considering the perfection, looking at the wind, the storm, how to ensure that he would meet his mark. This is how the Bible recommended that we live our life. He said we should keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said all the things we complain about are light afflictions. He said they are not a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal. We shouldn't pretend or assume that because we are Christians that life wouldn't happen. Life as it is chaotic. As it is, everything that happens to a human being is really not, half of it is not even his fault. Sometimes somebody makes an error and the error affects you. Sometimes some other people would have done something and then you find yourself in a place where you find yourself on. So there is nobody that will say, oh, life. But how do we master it? We have a set target. In him, we have all things. Not in the world, in him. That in him is our insulation. Already told us that. He said, in the world you have troubles. Said that. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What that means is, when you look at your left and you look at your right, you will see 1,000 falling. You see 10,000 falling. If you become petrified, just like Peter, you begin to look at the waves of the sea. You would lose sight of Jesus. It was when Peter lost sight of Jesus that he began to sink. As long as his eyes was on Jesus, it didn't matter what the waves and the sea, what it was doing. It didn't bother him. He had no issue with it because his eyes was in that telescope and he was looking at only one target, and that is Jesus. And where is Jesus? He is ahead of us and he's above us. Your eyes are upward and forward only. This is how a believer recalibrates the realities of life. The Bible I got pregnant. Glory, hallelujah. Then maybe 2 days later, I'm spotting blood. Glory, hallelujah. You're going to have that baby. That baby is going to live in the name of Jesus. Blood stops, you have the baby. Hallelujah. Oh, but what if the blood does not stop? And then you have a miscarriage. Glory! Hallelujah! Why? Because your eyes are set like a flint. Your eyes are set as a flint. You know that in him you have all these things. You know in him you have all things. The Lord once told me, the Lord said, if you get to keep everything I gave you, if I don't take some things out of your hand, and you get to keep everything I have given you in this life, he said, you'll be useless to me as a mature son because you will never learn how to make your own things. When he said that to me, I think I was 20, 29. I didn't understand it. I was like, oh, what was he talking about? Then I remember I had my first child and they were so attached to this toy. I bought him a toy truck. It goes everywhere with that truck. It would chew it. It would hold it. When they are in bed, they will be in bed together. The toy truck goes everywhere with him. He will never leave it. He became so attached to that toy. At first, I didn't see it as a problem. Until I noticed that every other toy that he was supposed to then use that would be perfect for his age, that toy truck was good for like a 6 month old baby, or maybe a year old. It was just a small, tiny truck that you can just hold it around and just, you know, run around with. But every other toy you bought him, he wouldn't look at them. I realized that this was going to be a problem. His eyes were on these mountains, and he wasn't developing the way I wanted. So one day when he was sleeping, I took away the toy. He woke up, he couldn't find it. At that time, he couldn't talk, so he was looking for it everywhere, couldn't find it. And then, when I noticed he couldn't find it, he went to another one. And then, as he was going, he was dropping the old ones, and he was picking new ones. And with every new one, there'll be new challenges. He had to relearn how to use it, learn how to press the button, learn how to wheel this, learn how, and then it started helping him to grow because he had to begin to handle complex machines. From simple ones, he had to move into semi-complex and then complex and then compound complex, and until you get it that this is how life works. With every growth, as we mature as Christians, we face new challenges. The new challenges are meant to make us better sons, to help our decision-making process, to help us with our emotions, to help us so that we don't become fixated on the small things at the expense of the big things, to keep our eyes on the big picture so that we don't lose sight of God's plan. It will have been perfectly convenient for Jesus to allow them to make him king when they wanted to make him king after he gave them bread. But he knew that not only would that give him a political problem, because the Roman Empire would then come for his head. He wasn't recognized in Rome as a king. And this piece of people wanted to make him king, all the normal kings would then give him problem. That would be a wrong way to go. He not only dissuaded them, he continued to face the cross. He knew that without the cross, he couldn't get victory. We don't have a cross to face. Let me say that again. You hear people saying, oh, Jesus had a cross to bear. Believers, you don't have any cross to bear. The only cross that is acceptable was the cross that Jesus Christ carried. The only cross that was acceptable, that the Bible recommended, and that has eternal value, was the cross that Jesus carried. It was the cross that Jesus was crucified upon. That is the cross. No other person has any right to carry a cross. So it is not a cross we are carrying. Now we carry Christ through the Holy Ghost. Christ is our light. Christ is our life. And Christ is not a cross. Christ is a blessing. And so if you have this treasure, this Christ, no, nothing else should be able to perturb you, disturb you, take away your joy, take away your peace. You know what Apostle Paul said? He said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Sometimes when a believer writes to me and I see the lamentations, oh, I've been out of a job for so long. Oh, I've never made it in there. Oh, I did it. Oh, I did IVF, IVF field. Oh, and they have a right to express such to me. I agree. I have a right to also call up anybody here and share with them some of the things that I may be going through. But I will never share it with them as a lamentation. I see it as, believe me when I say this, I see it as fun. I'm not kidding. I see it as part of being, you know, the dead cannot feel these things. As long as you might believe, a dead person cannot feel sad. A dead person cannot feel betrayed. A dead person cannot feel unhappy. A dead person cannot be distressed. A dead person cannot feel pain. As long as you're alive, you go to myriad types of emotions. They will come, and somebody here may say something to you that will hurt you. Somebody here may say, oh, I don't want to be your friend again. Another person may say, oh, I love you, but I want to be distant from you. Another person may say, oh, I love you, I want to be with you. In all these things, see it as life. And do not take your eyes away from your focus. Your eyes like a flint, dead set on the target. This is how a believer lives a victorious life. A victorious life comes from within. A victorious life is not an external reality that, oh, when I get to that position and I become president, I will have lived a victorious life. That is a lie. You become president, and then after that, what next? There's also always a chapter after that. It's just a season of their life. Ah, when I get married, I will be forever happy. Go and ask those who have been married for 40 years, 50 years. Ask them. They are happy in their marriages. Glory to God. But did that stop them from the normal life challenges? Did it stop them from trusting God to be pregnant? Did it stop them from the birth pangs when it was time to give birth to their baby? Did they not feel the pain? Did it stop them from having the baby and nursing the baby and taking the baby to clinic and from the natural, I don't want to call it fear, but anxiety that comes with raising a baby? He didn't isolate us from all these things. But what did the Bible say? He said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Always remember that. That the Bible already determined and decided that you are more than a conqueror. Therefore, you have the victory even before the race. What is the evidence of this, of the victory? The Bible said we have this seal of the promise. This Holy Spirit, that is the seal of our salvation. That seal guarantees that you can never fail in this life. Believe me. The Holy Spirit guarantees that at the end of your journey, you are going to be above and on top with Christ. For he is the seal that guarantees eternal life. That's what the Bible said. It said Christ is the guarantor of eternal life, which means you have a guarantor. A guarantor means somebody that is saying that he will make it. Oh, GSW, I have put myself, GSW can never fail. Benga, the Amashiach, my son. My son is doing me well. Every time I imagine Jesus talking about me, my God, if you see how I imagine it, you will tell me that I think too highly of myself. But I cannot pretend. It is how my citation on the day of the marriage supper of the Lamb, as Jesus will stand and he will be calling the saints one by one, he will call me separate. He will say, and there is this my son, KSW. He did a lot. And they will tell all the angels and everybody to give me a standing ovation. I will say, let us stand up. Let us stand up. I want to honor him. There's a special crown for him. There are 15 crowns in all, but I crafted a special one. A special crown for this boy did not lose focus. No, 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 no. Everything that he faced in this life, he faced with a smile. He's not one to complain. When I tell him to go, he goes. When I tell him to do anything, he does it. When life comes, he summons challenges without breaking a sweat. He does not lament. He does not complain. He's ever ready, ever eager to do my work. I imagine God talking about me, Jesus talking about me like that all the time. It encourages me, that nothing shall by any means hurt me. That nothing shall by any means stop me. That I will do my work faithfully. That I will run the course that is set before me, and I will run that course to glory and virtue, and I will run it with patience, and I will run it supernaturally. I will never depend on my strength. I always say that to myself all the time. Why? Because sometimes life will be shouting. Life will be barking at me. I will suddenly get this distraction, that distraction. Somebody will just decide that they are not happy with me. Or somebody can just wake up and say, I have a petition against you. Or somebody can say, oh, there's this thing. And somebody can say, there's that. And those things, if I allow them speak, my God, empty barrels can sure make noise. Empty barrels can shout. When people have nothing to say, they begin to invent all sorts. They invent all sorts. You know, somebody told me once, somebody told some pastors, I was there, the person was there. Some pastors, about five or six pastors were there. And the person said, let me tell you, this man you are looking at, this man, I cannot deny the power of God in his life, but I am sure that he's using you. God cannot use somebody like this. God does not use. And the person was saying it. I was there, I was looking at that. What? You're not even saying it by my back. You're saying it to my face. Wow. But I wasn't bothered. When I left the meeting, I was with my younger brother. He said, "Did it bother you that that person was talking like you like that?" I said, "Did it bother Jesus when they called him the Prince of Demons? Was Jesus not called the Prince of Demons? Did it bother him? Did you see Jesus crying over it, waiting for human validation?" Such things can bother me. My testimony is with the Lord. My testimony with his brethren. I know who I am. And I know who I have believed. And my eyes are set. My eyes are set like a flint. Nobody can redefine me. I have been defined by God. Your definition will always fall short. My eyes, like a flint, upward and forward only. Anything standing in my way, it is either it is coming with me or I'm breaking it to pieces. I'm telling you, anything standing in my way, it is either I will drag it with me to where I'm going or I'm breaking it to pieces. There is nothing that can stand in the way of anyone that is carried by the wind. The wind of God is at work in me. My eyes like a flint. I look at my target. I look at my destination. And it is onward, Christian soldier. Onward, onward, going forward, going upward, going forward, going upward. There is nothing that can stand before me. Oh, this one miscarried. That one, this one lost a job. Oh, that one, doctor suddenly said there is a sickness. Oh, no matter the news, empty barrels can shout. But it is my duty to shut them down. Isaiah told us, he said, with your mouth, you will condemn every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment. He didn't say they will condemn it for me. He said, you will condemn with your mouth. So whenever any voice wants to distract me from what God has said, I will tell them, shut up. My eyes are set like a flint. There is a citation waiting for me. Apostle Paul wrote the same thing about himself. He said, there is a citation waiting for me. There is a crown waiting for me. And I go joyfully to receive my crown. Hadibiana Kapanuda. This is what is waiting for me. There is a crown set before me. There is glory before me. There is victory before me. There is a city to build. There is a nation to build. There are believers to build. There is the gospel to spread. I have the seed of God in me. I cannot be distracted. Oh, the naysayers can say nay all they want. I am for the eye of Christ. For Christ has affirmed me. Nobody can invalidate me. This is my synesis, my conscious thinking all the time. No matter the season of life that I find myself, no matter what has been said, no matter what I hear, no matter what, it doesn't matter. The opinion of men is 2 cents and nonsense. It is God's verdict that matters. This is the consciousness you must walk with daily, looking forward, looking upward. I declare that your eyes are open and that your eyes can see forward. Your eyes can see upward. You can see the crown set before you, and you can see the glory ahead of you. I declare that all the things makingness around you are hereby set forever. Even the new ones, as the fires will come, they will be quenched. For the light of God is in you. The power of the Holy Spirit is at work in you. He would prop you up, carry you, and take you through all the fiery darts of the enemy. You will not even feel it. But when you see it, you will know that God is at work in you. This is the testimony that I'm sharing regarding you, your family, your children, your household. You belong to the Lord. You are kept by the Lord. The hand of the Lord is mightily and heavily upon you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can hinder you. Nothing can break you. Nothing can destroy you. You will not be one of those who will say, that thing broke me. You will not be broken by nothing. Christ made you unbreakable, insurmountable, unstoppable, indefatigable. You belong to the Lord, empowered to do wonders and mystery and break the realms of darkness with light. That is your testimony. You are always looking forward. You are always looking forward, for that is where your eyes are set. Blessed be God, for this is the truth that I testify about you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody that is blessed shout glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.